Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11, Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, text number 26. Asikta Margam Gandodai Karinam Mara Shikarai Swaminam Praptam Alokya Matamba Sutram Iva. Asikta Margam. The streets were sprinkled, Ganda Udai, with perfumed water, Karinam, of elephants, Mara Shikarai, with particles of perfumed liquor, Swaminam, the master or proprietor, Praptam, present, Alokya, seeing personally, Matam, very opulent, Va, either, Sutaram, highly, Eva, as if. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is the last purport in the whole chapter. During the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the streets of the capital, Ayodhya, were sprinkled with perfumed water and drops of perfumed liquor, thrown about by elephants from their trunks. When the citizens saw the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the city in such opulence, they appreciated this opulence very much. Purport. We have simply heard about the opulence of Rama Raj during the reign of Lord Ramachandra. Now here is one example of the opulence of the Lord's kingdom. The streets of Ayodhya were not only cleansed, but also sprinkled with perfumed water and drops of perfumed liquor, which were distributed by elephants through their trunks. There is no need of sprinkling machines, for the elephant has the natural ability to suck water through its trunk and again throw it out in a shower. We can understand the opulence of the city from this one example. It was actually sprinkled with perfumed water. Moreover, the citizens had the opportunity to see the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the state. He was not a sleeping monarch, as we can understand from his activities in sending his brothers out to see the affairs outside the capital and punish anyone who did not obey the emperor's orders. This is called Digvijaya. The citizens were given all facilities for peaceful life, and they were also qualified with appropriate attributes according to Varnashrama. As we have seen from the previous chapter, Varnashrama Guna Vita. The citizens were trained according to the Varnashram system. Class of men were Brahmanas, class of men were Kshatriyas, class of men were Vaishyas, and a class were Shudras. Without this scientific division, there could be no question of good citizenship. The king, being magnanimous and perfect in his duty, performed many sacrifices and treated the citizens as his sons. And the citizens, being trained in the Varnashram system, were obedient and perfectly ordered. The entire monarchy was so opulent and peaceful that the government was even able to sprinkle the streets with perfumed water, what to speak of other management. Since the city was sprinkled with perfumed water, we can simply imagine how opulent it was in other respects. Why should the citizens not have felt happy during the reign of Lord Ramachandra? Asikta Margam Gandodai Karinam Mara Shikarai Swaminam Praptam Alokya Matam Va Sutaram Iva. During the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the streets of the capital of Ayodhya were sprinkled with perfumed water and drops of perfumed liquor, thrown about by elephants from their trunks. when the citizens saw the Lord personally supervising the affairs of the city in such opulence, they appreciated this opulence very much. Vanashram deals with two aspects. One of them is how to recognizing that Krishna is a provider of everything by doing activities dutifully, that is, doing the activities that Krishna has assigned to the different varnas and ashrams. That's called duty. And that way one comes to recognize that Krishna is the proprietor, because one utilizes one's material assets dutifully. And when one comes to the higher platform of the varna ashram, then one inquires about how to realize that I'm not this body, that I'm a spiritual being. It's called Jnana Marga. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins with a basic foundational principle, namely that we're not this body. Because without understanding we're not this body, then why should we perform duties for Krishna? Because if we think we're this body, then we're already entangled. But if we're not this body, then there's some possibility of getting out of the entanglement. There's some possibility. There's a purpose in life other than just to gratify the senses, that is to get free from the perpetual impetus or the impulses arising from the senses and the speculations about the material nature from the mind and the perverted intelligence and the false ego. There's a chance of getting free from that. Now, most people, Nityavidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu Durashiya Ye Bahya Artamanina Andaya Tandira Pigiyamanas Tepisha Tantra Uru Dami Bhara. Most people are blind. They have no idea that the purpose of life is to obtain Krishna. Instead, they take this material world as everything. And because they take the material world as everything, therefore they follow blind people. Blind people means they look for someone who has more ability to gratify their senses than they do. Namely, Swavit, Rahostra, Karara, Samstuta, Purusha, Pashu, Yat Karna, Patapote, Pya, Jatu, Namagada, Gaja. The men who are like hogs and dogs and camels and asses, they glorify the bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, but they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead who carries a club within his hands. In other words, if one doesn't know Krishna, then we'll choose someone else as the leader. If Krishna is not our leader in any activity, then we can assume that someone else has taken the leadership, that we're following someone else. We don't do things completely independent. We always have some example that we're following. So the example here is Swavid. Swa means dog. So dog is a very faithful master. Because he gets fed, he'll do anything for the master. So similarly, those who are materialists, they who are employed in this society, they're obliged to do all kinds of horrible things for their master, or else they don't get fed. So they can consider like a dog. Even though they get a materialistic education and get some honors in such education, at the end of the college or the university, the end of their PhD degree, they have to go to door to door and beg, please, I'm a good dog. Look at me wagging my tail. I'll do anything you want. Just give me a job. And vid means a hog. A hog will eat anything, sleep anywhere, have sex with anyone, and it'll defend itself to the death. And the Svavid Brahostra Karar, Ustra. Ustra means a camel. So the camel, there is some thorns on a tree. And the camel is very tall, so it can reach the thorny twigs, and it eats the thorny twigs, and the twigs cut its tongue, and so it drinks its blood. but it likes the taste of its blood. So he thinks the thorns are very tasteful, but actually the taste comes from its blood. So similarly, those who are engaged in illicit sex life are drinking their own blood. They think they're enjoying, but actually they're enjoying drinking their own blood. They're compared to the camel. And ustra karar. Karar is the ass. It worked very, very hard carrying the heavy load of the washerman, simply so at the end of the day, the washerman will allow it to eat the grass underneath its feet. Similarly, the foolish workers working day and night, ultimately just to get some loaf of a little bit of bread, but they'll work so hard, and then they provide all these unnecessary things for them to distract them. These little things that they make for practically nothing and sell for so high. And then people play all day long these video games, killing things on it, thinking they're killing something. They're very powerful. They can hardly press the buttons and they think they're powerful. They think they're destroying the dragons in the dungeon. But they can hardly breathe themselves. So these are persons who are absorbed in material nature, but they're not attracted at all to service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't believe in God. They only believe in gratifying their senses because their intelligence has been stolen by illusion. That's how the material nature works. But in the beginning, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, we're not this body. And those who have enough or good fortune to read Bhagavad Gita and good enough fortune to have enough intelligence to understand that this is real knowledge, the fact that our bodies are changing, but we're not changing, that we're all eternal, and that we should realize we're eternal if we want to be happy and peaceful. What can we do in the material world to become happy and peaceful besides realizing that we're eternal? What will satisfy us? Before they're executed in America, they used to give prisoners whatever they'd like to eat. Now, generally, jail food is not very pleasant. But if you get the opportunity when you're in prison, you can eat anything you want. You order 5 pizzas and, you know, samosas and gulabjamuns and kachoris and 5 curd sabjis. Wouldn't that be nice? But if you know the next day that I'm going to be executed or hung, you'll probably lose your appetite. You'd have to forget about the next day. Or say, sorry, please don't execute me today, I'm sick. I ate too much yesterday. Wait for a day when I'm a little healthier, then you execute me. They probably won't be very sympathetic to you. Oh yes, you don't look very well, I guess we won't execute. So still in the material world, we're trying to enjoy the material nature, but at the same time we know we're going to have to be executed sooner or later. So it's a little like eating sweet rice with sand in it. The idea is good, but it doesn't taste so good. So Varnashram is meant to get us out of this cure, out of this disease, by a gradual process. That is, recognizing the existence of Krishna by performance of yajna. Now, if anyone individually does their duty, they may or may not realize Krishna very much, because they may do it simply out of duty, and there may not be any bhakti in it. There may be, for instance, it is said that in Kali Yuga, for instance, the chanting of the holy name is in every Kali Yuga. But in the other Kali Yugas, they do it just so they can get something to eat. It's a sacrifice. Because by such sacrifice, by the Shudras helping the Vaishyas who collect all the ingredients for the sacrifice, who grow the ingredients and get the milk and the ghee from the cow, and perform the brahmanas who learn the who get supported by the grihasthas, their maintenance is supported, and therefore they are able to learn all the Vedic mantras and go through the austerities necessary to pronounce the Vedic mantras properly. The kshatriyas who collect all the taxes and everything. So the sacrifice is made, and the rains come at the right time and the right amount so that the food grows, so the Vaishyas are able to provide the ingredients, and everyone gets fed. So people have faith because the Varnashram system works. They may not be ecstatically in love with Krishna when they're doing their duty or even studying the Vedas, but they know they have to eat. They want to eat and sleep and mate and defend in the best possible way, and therefore they're willing to go and undergo the Varnashram culture, the duties of Varnashram, so they can live happily in the material world. At the same time, they develop faith in Krishna, that actually he's supplying the rain, the most important ingredient. And therefore, everything else goes on because the rain comes. Everything else can come nicely. But that's not the ultimate purpose of life. The ultimate purpose of life is to live peacefully and happily in the material world. That's all right. But at the same time, try to cultivate a sense of Krishna consciousness. Without that, cultivating the sense of Krishna consciousness, then it's not Daivi Varnashram, it's Asura Varnashram. Therefore, people have no, first of all, people have no interest in any kind of Varnashram. They think it's a they think it's abominable. That's a caste system. They're actually mentally and intellectually opposed to such a system. Although it's there, it's always there, but they're too dull to recognize that they have people, so-called managers of society, the government, but they're all shudras. They have so-called brahmanas, but they're maya pritiganas. They have no intelligence. Their intelligence has been stolen by illusion. They don't even understand they're not their body, what to speak of the purpose of life. So it's going on in a very perverted way. But the actual Varnashram system can only be implemented when you have civilized human beings. When you don't have people who are like animals or chasing after becoming animals. Therefore, we don't emphasize Varnashram Dharma so much, because we don't have very many candidates for Varnashram Dharma. Because we have, the society is more or less based on people who are swavidvrahosrakarara, who are like camels, dogs, hogs, and asses, who are interested in becoming bigger dogs, camels, and asses. Bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. That's what they're interested in. They're not interested in regulating their senses and becoming devotees, becoming shudras or vaishyas or kshatriyas or brahmanas. They have no interest. They want to be happy in the material world, but they have no idea how it's achieved. They don't know what happiness is, even materially speaking, because they've lost all intelligence. Therefore, our emphasis is on spreading the Sankirtan movement. Because by the chanting of the holy names in this age, if people can do it, even they're so fallen, even we're so fallen, still we can be raised up to the point where we can understand how to live peacefully and happily in the material world. Because most people are not going to suddenly abandon the material world and take strictly to Krishna consciousness. But if the Sankirtan movement is spread and people chant Hare Krishna and prasadam is distributed, and a little bit of knowledge, then people can actually realize that there's a God, Krishna exists, and that they should serve him if they want to be happy, even materially speaking. Then people in general can elect proper leaders who will be proper Brahmins, educators, and managers of society. But that's not possible for people to jump into the Varnashram system now because they have no interest in it. On the other hand, we're trying to develop an interest in Krishna consciousness. But we have problems developing an interest in Krishna consciousness because we're in the modes of ignorance and passion. And Krishna consciousness is actually performed in goodness. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavinyas chasmi tattvataha tatomam tattvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is engaged in such activities of bhakti, then he can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So devotional service is only performed when we're acting in the mode of goodness. We may not be presently in the mode of goodness, but at least we have to act in the mode of goodness. We have to act, actually we're trying to act transcendentally by serving Krishna without material motivations and speculation, trying to cooperate with the devotees appropriately, trying to help the innocent, and trying to avoid the atheists. So we're practicing. So gradually we can come to the mode of goodness and we can actually accept pure devotional service. Maybe by good fortune, sometimes we do something that pleases Krishna and he gives us a little mercy so that we get a little taste of what pure devotional service is. But I think most of us during the day, we're not walking around in an ocean of ecstasy. But we're trying, and therefore at least it's keeping us above the lower modes of material, acting in the lower modes of nature for most of the time. And therefore one can go on cultivating devotional service and gradually be raised out of the modes of ignorance and passion so that we can actually appreciate what real devotional service is more often. In any case, Prabhupada's plan in general was spread the Hare Krishna movement, give people some intelligence, spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence means if our hearts become a little purified, if their hearts become a little purified, then we'll appreciate that we're eternal and that there's a process of realizing that we're eternal. There's a process of realizing how we can develop a relationship with the Supreme Eternal Person and his associates and therefore enter into an existence of unlimited pleasure and love. So people even get an opportunity to realize it, then they may take to the process of pure devotional service and therefore gradually make progress towards that goal in spite of all the obstacles of material existence. So Prabhupada's plan was that we convince enough people in society that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that the goal of life is to reach him. And therefore they elect leaders, they choose leaders who actually help them progress towards that goal. And since more or less it's the so-called democracy, if there's enough people who have that idea in mind, then proper leadership can be implemented in society and there can be progression in at least establishing this varna and ashram so that people get more and more confidence of the value of rain at the proper time for growing food in the proper way and therefore establishing a culture which is pleasurable, materially pleasurable, and spiritually conducive. That the streets are clean, everywhere you go you have nice lavender and all kinds of other aromas and everywhere. The water is pure, the air is clean, people are friendly, they're happy. The sounds in the ether are all spiritual. And therefore, it's easy to chant Hare Krishna because it's even more pleasurable than everything else which is happy and pleasurable. And you realize it's only happy and pleasurable because we're following Krishna's instructions. And therefore, Krishna's best instruction is sarva dharma prajaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Ultimately, when everything we're peaceful and happy and we want something more, then Krishna says, well, give this up and just surrender to me and you'll get everything. And then we'll more easily accept it because we won't have so many problems in our life that we have to solve before we accept that. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
when we go out and try to distribute Krishna consciousness, but we might be still in the lower modes of material nature, then what should we do?
Take shelter of Krishna. Then we won't be in the lower modes when we're at least distributing Krishna consciousness.
So before we go...
What's that?
Before we go out.
Well, before we go out, when we go out, as much as possible. It's not that, you know, I'm in Maya throughout the whole day and then we have to go out. Well, maybe we should try to become Krishna conscious. No, we should try to practice as much as possible. But when we go out, then we're confronted with obstacles and people are not friendly, they don't, apparently, etc. We're not very much enlivened and therefore people don't really surrender to our potency because we have no potency. We have no spiritual potency for them to surrender to. Then we realize if I'm going to get spiritual potency, I better start relying upon Krishna. I better start becoming Krishna conscious. Start praying to Krishna to help me. And then Krishna may help us if he sees we're sincere and empower us to do something to help people become Krishna conscious. So going out and preaching is an opportunity to realize how fallen we are and how dependent we are upon Krishna to not be so fallen. Anything else? Vala, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.